No, they're fine. I mean, this is they're not going to get sick at sea. You know, if they're shooters, you're not always going to be able to make all the shots that you want. You know, then you have to find different ways to impact the game. Our game is not built just on the three-point ball. You know, that we've proven that time and time again. We can win games, we can win series, regardless of how the three's going. But we also have ignitable guys. You see a couple go through, that all of a sudden can become an avalanche. So one way or another, we got to find a way to get the job done.
Coach Spo last night didn't go the way we're kind of gotten spoiled. Getting that game one on the road did not happen last night. Brian Geltzeiler, SiriusXM NBA, joins us this morning. Geltzy, how you doing?
I'm doing good, Joe. How you doing?
Man, I'm doing great. Hey, Geltzy, before we start, this is kind of crazy, but we're going through this pickleball thing down here. I'm not a pickleball fan. I like tennis. Are you playing pickleball?
I haven't played in a while. I play it once in a while. I'm not a serious player.
Good.
I enjoy it when I do. It's okay exercise. But I know there's people that like pickleball as a way of life. That is far from how I live it, my man. Good. I'd much rather take a golf club and go play 18 holes.
There you go, Geltz. All right, we're good. We're good now. We can move on here.
Okay, good. I'm glad.
Hey, so I do want to ask you about last night. We got spoiled on all this great three-point shooting. And last night, I thought the Heat had a bunch of good looks and just could not knock down shots. What were your thoughts on game one?
Well, first of all, I thought Miami played excellent defense in the second half. I think that single covering Jokic, rotating that with playing some zone, kept Denver off rhythm. I'm a big proponent here of single covering Jokic and worrying about the rest of the guys. Because as great as Jokic was last night, he had dominated the game through three quarters and had taken a total of five shots. Everybody else is killing you. And Jamal Murray is going to get his. He's too damn good at getting to those spots 12 and 15 feet away from the hoop and is excellent at hitting contested shots from there. He's going to get his. But where I thought Miami lost the game defensively, especially in the first half, like Gordon getting 12 in the first quarter, you have to adjust off of those off-ball switches that Denver kept exploiting to get Gordon down low, stealing Vincent. And Vincent's a really good defensive player, but that's 6'9 against 6'2. You got troubles there. Bruce Brown having 10 points in 20 minutes. There was one play in the first half where they did a really good job single-covering Jokic in with about 3 seconds left in the shot clock. Haywood Highsmith inexplicably leaves Bruce Brown on the weak side to run for a double to Jokic. He's going to get the Jokic to double him in time till that passes in Brown's hands for an open three. You know, Porter, 14 points, even not shooting well on 16 shots. You know, you get those kinds of contributions from those guys. Denver's very hard to beat. So I thought the defense in the second half was much better for Miami. As far as the open threes are concerned, they are going to shoot the ball better. But I will also say that Spo needs to have some other spots to go to and units to use when guys really aren't shooting well. I mean, you look at the numbers last night, Joe, and you ended up from three-point land between Martin, Bruce, and Robinson. You were 2 of 16 from 3. Yeah. That means everybody else was 11 of 23. Now, you cannot take Martin out of the lineup because you just need him defensively to spend time on Jamal Murray. You can't take him out of the lineup. Duncan Robinson, at least when you're playing the zone, gives you a little bit of size. The guy you wonder if it doesn't turn around soon, but does he struggle defensively at the end of the Boston series, is Max Strus. Max Strus isn't hitting shots. You may have to go to another option. One thing I thought was very interesting in the fourth quarter of that game, I didn't think Spo was going to go to it a lot because of Denver's size, but he went to the Lowry-Vincent backcourt together. And Denver seems to have their hands full a little bit with that smaller lineup. I would look to see that a lot more here in the first half of game two.
So I want to ask you about the other guy that either going to come back, it sounds like, in game two or maybe back home in game three. How do you treat this Tyler Hero thing coming off? He's been out. He's got to have a little bit of rust. He hasn't played in a game for a while, but you know how good he is when as far as creating a shot, and when he's on. What do you do with the Tyler Hero thing? How do you fit him back in?
Well, the worry with Tyler Hero is obviously the conditioning side. And then the second part of it is he's not a good defensive player, Joe.
No.
And in this series, I don't know how many not good defensive players that he can afford to have on the floor. Here's my point. I don't think Hero has an enormous impact because whose minutes is Hero going to take in this series? he's going to take Duncan Robinson's minutes. Because ultimately, you're not going to have a situation where Spo's got the two of them on the floor together. Heck, Spo has passed, you know, last night, passed on having Kevin Love and Duncan Robinson right on the floor together. And they could have used Love shooting last night. So you're not. So when Hero comes back, that's the minutes he's going to take. And yes, maybe he shoots it better than Robinson does. But I think that Hero's impact in this series and what he can do is being largely overplayed by media guys like us. I don't know that it's going to be this huge impact that he comes back and all of a sudden takes over the playmaking responsibility that he has and gets his own shot. I think it's going to take him time to get his legs underneath him here. He hasn't played since early in the first round. So I wouldn't look to that as being something that's going to be a big solution here for the Heat in this series.
The other one is, listen, Jimmy Butler can't have 13 points ever, especially against this group. What do you think of Jimmy Butler, 6 for 14 for 13 points last night?
I can't believe he didn't get to the free throw line. That's the part. You don't want 13 points showing 14 shots. Butler has to be more efficient. I can't believe he didn't have a free throw attempt. And the thing that bothered me about Butler, and we saw a little bit of it in Game 6 and Game 7 of the Boston series when Robert Williams would end up switched on to him, where Butler didn't really want to go to the basket hard and draw the contact in the way that we've become used to seeing him. And then last night, between Aaron Gordon and Jokic, I mean, Jokic is a good defensive player. He's not a horrible defensive player that people want to make him out to be, but he's far from a great defensive player. Geez, Jimmy, go take it into his chest. I mean, yeah. And see if he can get to the free throw line. You get a shot block. So be it. But keep doing it that way. You'll get plenty of free throw attempts. Yeah, Butler not getting to the free throw line. And the Heat, by the way, that last night, only 2 free throw attempts for the Miami Heat, both by Haywood Highsmith. That is a NBA playoff record for the least amount of free throw attempts for a team. Okay, and you just can't have that. And I will tell you, that is on Jimmy Butler. Butler has to set the tone there. And I think you'll see we heard him, you know, at the end of the game. He also talked about, which I thought was interesting, is that while they're taking these shots, these perimeter shots, they feel like the right shots in the framework of the offense. But then he realized after the game and looking at a stat sheet and when he goes back and watches film, that there was others that he should have been taking instead and going to the basket and playing a more physical style of play. I mean, in your best weapon against Jokic is try to get him in foul trouble, go at him. And Jimmy's got to do a heck of a lot more of that. But, you know, if Butler doesn't get to the free throw line, Miami's going to be out of the series soon. It's probably even beyond the missed threes by Strus and Robinson and Martin. Butler not getting to the free throw line was the most alarming thing I saw for Miami last night.
That's an interesting one. You're right, though. 2 for 2 in a game is just not going to cut it. So Gelsey, some other NBA news here. Were you surprised? We've talked about this before. Celtics coming out saying we're keeping Joe Mazzulla. Did that surprise you, or did you see that coming, that they're going to work with him and winning 3 in a row maybe saved his job against the Heat, or he was safe anyway?
I had been told right after they were eliminated that there was a 0% chance that Brad Stevens was going to fire Joe Mazzulla. Stevens loves him. And the thing with a coach like Mazzulla is Brad Stevens gets some input from upstairs. And I think that when you get team presidents that have that, they don't want to let it go. So I think that's a reason. The other thing is, I think we're going to have to watch this in the offseason for the Celtics. They don't want to spend money. And I can't make it clear enough, Joe. He had 4 assistant coaches on his coaching staff. Look at other coaches. They have 6, 7, 8 guys. Okay, they didn't replace guys that left. And Mazzulla comes cheap. Let's face it. So I think they're gonna live and die with him with the growing pains. But all of these types of things, the lack of willingness to surround him with enough assistant coaches and appropriate assistant coaches with experience, the fact that they have this title-ready team, they're not willing to invest in a coach with this title-ready team, that a guy that's been there before knows what he's doing and can take a team deep, all of those things make it a little bit alarming. And I say, if I'm them, I pay Jaylen Brown. I know there's a lot of clamor off the way he played the end of the Miami series. Do not pay Jaylen Brown. I would pay Jaylen Brown, Joe. But I'm not sure that they're going to. The move I would have made would replace Mazzulla and keep Brown, and I think we actually may end up seeing the opposite.
Wow. Oh, man, it's hard to imagine. You get a guy that good, and you're right, he wasn't very good against the Heat, not giving that guy super max. And I don't know if Jaylen Brown wants to be here. Do we know, does Jaylen Brown want his own team, or is he happy with Tatum and the gang?
I think he's fine with Tatum and that group, and him and Tatum really have a nice relationship. And it wasn't always like that, but there's a deep connection between those two guys. And I think Jaylen Brown would be great to stay there. The thing is, for Jaylen Brown, he's a second-team All-NBA guy and wants to be paid like it.
Yes.
Do you blame him?
No.
I don't, Joe, right?
Me neither.
Okay?
No.
So if you're not going to step up as an organization and see my value financially in what I do for this team, yeah, then send me some to somebody that will. And I think that's going to be Brown's thing. I don't think for Brown it's ever going to be about his own team. I think he's a player that desperately wants to win. He's a really, really smart, intelligent guy. He's also a little bit sensitive. So I think that plays into some of this too. And I think they're going to have to make him feel like they want him. And the way to do that is very simple, is to offer him the supermax that he's entitled to. If they don't want to do that, or they hem him all a little bit, and Brown doesn't feel like they have confidence in him, Brown's going to turn around and say, listen, send me somewhere where a team will pay me the money that I feel like I have justly earned, and let me go there. You guys do what you got to do. And I think that's kind of where the stare down is going to come. Listen, Boston, the Celtics ownership group and spending money is a very, very big subplot here to watch as we enter into this offseason. And it's not off to a good start with them, with the thought that they were very, very quick to retain Joe Mazzulla, who's on a pretty cheap extension.
Yeah. Gelty, I want to ask you about James Harden. There's so many different parts of this. The 76ers sound like they want to keep him, but how much money do you pay him? And how do you feel about James Harden giving him a 3 or 4 year contract at this point? We've seen the real good James Harden, and we've seen a guy on certain nights is can't find the rim. What are your thoughts on where James Harden ends up?
Well, all right, so let me start with this, okay? I think the Sixers, unfortunately, because of the deal they made to bring Harden in, because of their salary situation, are essentially pot committed on James Harden. And Daryl Morey has shown us over time a willingness to give guys big contracts and not worry about the back end of those contracts. And I think we may see a situation like that, because let's face it, if you sign Harden to a 4-year deal and it doesn't pan out in the next two, Embiid may very well ask out also. You're going to have to blow the whole thing up anyway. So I think that you're going to see the Sixers make a very meaningful financial offer to try to keep James Harden. And as much as when the Sixers season ended, all we heard was Houston, 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 and I was also told that James has got his eye on Phoenix as well, I think a meaningful 4-year deal would be the type of thing that could keep James Harden in Philadelphia in a winning situation. You know, Nick Nurse was brought in there to continue what they're willing to do. And if the Nurse hire is any kind of sign for what they're going to do with Harden, I think it would indicate they believe they're title ready right now. The guy to watch in Philadelphia that I think they're going to try to make a significant deal with is they're going to try to use Tobias Harris's big expiring contract, sprinkle some picks in, maybe, you know, any young, decent guy that they have, not named Tyrese Maxey, which there are many. But I think they may try to do something there to bring in another high-priced player to play a long Harden at Embiid. But I would be surprised at this point if they don't make a big offer to Harden.
All right, Gelty, I'll leave you with this one. All right, so game one is done. How do you feel about the Heat? If they shoot better, or is there still a good chance for them to win this series, or is the talent of Denver just too much?
Listen, I picked the Heat in game 7 of the Boston series, Joe. And my reasoning was that every time I think this Heat group is dead, they climb out of the coffin and grab me by the neck to remind me that they're not. So when I look at the Heat going into a game 2, understand something about the Heat going into last night. They played a very emotional game 7 on Monday night. They never even came home. They flew directly to Denver and started to prepare for this game. You're not always used to the thin air. The Nuggets are. You know, that's always a factor. They now have 2 days to get accustomed to being in Denver, to rest, to go watch film. And the Heat, you know, they don't let their guys out on the road. They're sequestered. That's the way they operate. So I would be surprised if we don't see an enormous effort from Miami on Sunday night with some wrinkles and some changes, a little bit more zone. We'll see the Larry Vincent lineup more than work. And I think you're going to see Eric Spoelstra mix some stuff up. I wouldn't be surprised to see them play Kevin Love over Cody Zeller, get a little bit of shooting on the floor with the thought that he just gives you some more fouls to bang on Jokic. I think you may see some of that, because what you may see here is Love spending some time on Jokic and Bam Adebayo playing off the ball, you know, on a guy like Gordon and being able to come and help on Jokic. I think you'll see some of that, and they'll be very careful about who they leave open in these spots. But I kind of think that's the way all this is going to go. I think Miami could get game two. I picked Denver in seven at the beginning of the series. There's nothing I saw last night that doesn't make me believe that we could be in for a very long series here.
Kelsey, great having you, man. Appreciate you finding time on short sleep there to join us this morning. You take care. Have a great weekend.
You do the same, Joe. It is always my pleasure, my friend. Take care.